Hey everyone, I'm Nathan Hughes. Welcome to the Reconcile Podcast. We're so glad that you're here. We believe that God is calling all of us to a better future and to look inside and see our potential. That's really what this podcast is all about. So I'm glad that you checked this message out. Hope that you enjoy it and be encouraged. Let's all go out and reconcile the world. So usually I'm known for going like 30, 40 minutes. Tonight I think I might go like 15 to 20. We'll see. I know it's going to be a short one because it's on marriage. And who really cares about marriage, right? I'm joking. It's going to be a short one because we have some pizza to eat and I want us to give us some time to hang out after the last song. But if you guys have the Bible app or if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 18, verse 1. And that's eventually where we're going to be. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. And so I titled tonight's message, Marriage, and then I put colon, and I titled it On Mission Together. On Mission Together. And if you've been journeying with us, you know that we've done a lot of work to get us to this message. And if you know anything about what it means to be single, you know that from this series, we said that singleness isn't a bad thing. It's actually a gift because it helps us figure out what we need to become devoted to and where our focus needs to be. That's so important. And we said that it's like running a race, right? That Paul relates our Christian life like running a race. And it's definitely a marathon, it's not a sprint. And we said that when you're aligned and you're following Jesus, you're running a race, and very rarely should we let things knock us off course. But we're human beings, right? And that does happen. And God's grace picks us up where we fall, and it also guides us back to our values. And so that's what His Spirit does. His Spirit leads us and guides us and convicts us. And so it's like running a race, and you're on mission, and you know what you're devoted to. That's what singleness is. And for a lot of people, marriage isn't even the goal, but we said the reason why we started this whole series is because there is something inside of us that was wired, we were created for. We need companionship. We need romance in our life. And it doesn't just mean from a significant other, right? In nature, we need adventure. We were created to see beauty. It's as if we were created to enter into this romance with God. And so we were created for that first and foremost. And then if we're ever, I would say blessed to enter into marriage, then here's some things that I want all of us to know about marriage. The first thing is that marriage, it was God's idea. And if you read in Genesis chapter 2, you don't need to go there, but we see that after every creative act, God says, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. He says this after every creative act, 7 different times. But then after He creates man, you know what He says? It's not good. For what? For the man to be alone. And that's where I see that longing for companionship that really has entered into the human heart. God knew it wasn't good for us to be alone. Why? Because God has never been alone. God has been in perfect community and perfect relationship. And I'm not even going to pretend to make complete sense of that right now. But when I read the scriptures, I see that the Spirit was there in the beginning, hovering over the waters in the deep. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 1. And then when you read John chapter 1, verse 1, it says that the Word was with God. And that even at the beginning of time, God used the Word to create. And it was by the Word and through the Word that everything was created. And who's the Word? The Word is Jesus. That's what the scriptures tell us. And so you know what that tells me is that God is a relational God. He exists in relationship and He always has. And so He created us for those same things. And because that longing for companionship is wired in us, that doesn't mean that all of us necessarily need to get married, but it does mean that all of us need friends. All of us need friends. We do. We can't live life without friendship. It's what we were created for. Friendship with God and friendship with others. So in Genesis chapter 2, it's the first time God says it's not good that man should be alone. And that is where really the heart of marriage is seen in the scriptures. And it says Adam and Eve became one flesh. And God designed a husband and a wife to complement one another, to serve one another, to love each other. And those are the intentions behind his creation of marriage, but marriage is also meant to display something about God. It's also supposed to be like, a marriage is supposed to be like this picture that people can look to and they can learn something about who God is because of this relationship. Does that make sense? And so before we enter into this, we call it a covenant, right? That's our scripture word that we use. But a covenant is really a word that it means like a contractual agreement, but it can't be broken and it's unconditional. And that's the kind of relationship God enters in with us. And so marriage is the same thing. And so when people look at a marriage relationship, it's supposed to point people to God. And I know some of us are like, dang, I know in a lot of marriages and they're not pointing me to God, right? We're gonna get there at the end of this message. It's because marriage is hard, all right? We're gonna get there. You also have to know that before you enter into it, okay? I just wanna get married. Yeah, sure you do. Wait until it happens. It's good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, but it's tough. So God designed marriage. Dre loves being married to me. It's the best thing that ever happened to her for sure. Yep. You could tell them all the reasons why later, Dre. It's fun. It's fun doing ministry married. It was so awkward when we were dating. Like, that's, I don't wish that upon anybody. My gosh. Especially in the church world. Sheesh. So marriage is a metaphor. Think of it as, I say, a mural. What is a mural? It's a beautiful picture. We were in Mexico in January, and we saw this beautiful mural, and it stopped us, and we were just like, oh, wow, look at that. That's gorgeous. So a marriage is supposed to be like a mural. It's supposed to be this place where people look to it, and they go, oh, my gosh. It's as if there are aspects of that that I was created for. And then you learn that there's a God that actually longs for that kind of intimate relationship with you and with me. And that's what marriage is actually pointing people to. So it's a mural, right? But it's also a metaphor for the kind of relationship that God seeks with us. He's seeking it with every single one of us. God seeks that kind of a close and intimate relationship with us. And really, he's done everything that he needs to in order to get that close to us. And it says in sending his son, it was the way that he communicated to us. And there's a lot of things in our life, I think, that prevent us from experiencing that. And really, that's what happens when we come to Jesus. It's almost like his love starts to untangle all the hurts and the pains and the baggage that we've experienced before we finally have seen him, you know? And then it's like, oh, okay, this is what I was created for. I get it. I get it. At least for me, that's how it's been. So marriage is like a mural. People are supposed to be able to look at this relationship and see the kind of relationship that God wants with us, but it's also a metaphor for the kind of relationship that God actually seeks with us. Like, this kind of relationship is actually available to us. And here's my marriage's hard part, and we're gonna get to Acts chapter 18, verse 1. I just have a little tangent I wanna go on because I've heard this over and over again. So marriage is hard. It's really hard. Nothing, and this is my opinion with some research, right, and experience. Nothing sanctifies you more than marriage. What does that word sanctify mean? It means really to make you look more like Jesus. Don't raise your hand, right? How many people have some really close, don't raise your hand, all right? Please don't. How many people have really close friends in your life? Don't raise your hand, bro. We know you got a lot of good friends. So how many people have had really close friends, but then you had a falling out? Don't raise your hand. I know, almost everybody's hand went up. Why did that, don't tell me, I just want you to think about this. Why did that friendship have a falling out? People suck. Why did that friendship relationship even have the potential to have a falling out? Because we did this. And we did this. And we did this. And guess what? The closer we get to someone, the more potential there is for what? For pain and for offense. But also the more potential there is for what? For love. For love. And so the reason why, sometimes friendship is hard, right? Think about your worst fights. Who have they happened with? A stranger on the street? Nah, get out of here. They happened with your best friend. They happened with your siblings. They happened with your parents. Am I right? Think about it. Because the closer we get to people, the more potential there is for pain. But the more potential there is for love and belonging and acceptance and security. But we gotta fight for it. It's hard. What happens if you just kind of passively are in a friendship relationship? Nothing's gonna happen, right? You just play Call of Duty all day, right? That's it. Nothing's gonna happen. So the guys are like, yeah, it's the best friendship I've ever had in my entire life. Ladies, don't marry them, right? Unless you guys play together, then you'll have a happy marriage. It'll be great. But that's not a marriage on a mission, right? That's what I called this tonight. That's not some black ops missions. That's not what I'm talking about. So I'm coming for you. Friendships are hard, right? So what makes you think that marriage is going to be easier than some of the most difficult friendship relationships we've ever had? It's not. But, and here's my rant, all right? Take this with you wherever you go, and I hope you believe it. I grew up in some churches, and even when I was in Mississippi, they're like, they got the adult ministry and the married ministry, but they don't have the singles ministry. And even when I wasn't dating, I was like, yeah, because being married is hard. Like, being single is hard too, but being married is really hard. And they need all the help they can get, amen? Yeah, when you're married, you're gonna be saying amen. So next time you hear someone be like, yeah, that church, they don't have anything for singles. And if you hear them kind of knocking the marriage ministry, be like, yeah, that's because marriage is hard and they need all the help they can get, amen? So marriage is hard. Why? Because that relationship has the most potential for love like you've never experienced, for belonging like you've never experienced before. And I'm not saying you can't get types of this in a friendship. I'm not saying that you can't, but the way that God has created us, that marriage relationship is supposed to be, right, inseparable. The two become one. There's something sacred and holy about that. And that means the most potential for love, but also pain exists, and it's hard. Marriage is hard, but nothing sanctifies us. And I had pastors say this when I was single, and I'd be like, oh, so you can be more like Christ than I can because you're married? And in different kind of ways, yes, they can. And I'm okay with that. They can. Like, I'm telling you right now, you're never gonna learn self-control like you would, except when you're in a relationship, and especially a marriage. Like, some of you think you're so generous, right? Until somebody asks you for something. Life would be easy if we could just like not have any friends and we just did everything on our own. You'd be the best person in the whole world. You have the most patience ever until you're waiting on somebody, right? Some of you can't even wait at, when you're going to get gas, you're looking for the pump that has nobody in it. And when you come up to a stoplight, you're switching lanes at the last minute for the car that has the least amount in it. It's crazy. Marriage is hard. But hear this too, and I'm giving it to you straight. Marriage is, it's good. It's a good thing. God blesses it, sanctifies you through it. But I also need you to know this too. And please, you guys, don't forget this stuff. This is so important. Your marriage isn't just for you. Your marriage isn't just for you. It's for God's glory and the benefit of others as well. That's what it's for. And let's turn to Acts chapter 18, verses 1-4. And I just have this really, really random side note story that nobody would probably ever remember, but I pray that you remember it now because of this message tonight. So Paul is going on like his missionary journeys, and he's preaching the gospel, and he's going into Greece and into Rome and all over the place. And he just left Athens and is on his way to Corinth. And in Acts chapter 18, verse 1, this is what it says. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Okay? So Paul went to see them. And because he was a tent maker, Paul, as they were, he stayed and he worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks about Jesus, about the gospel. So just check this out. Like, this is something that I read over for years. I was just like, okay, cool, whatever. Paul met up with some tent makers, had a good time, and that's it. I just keep reading, right? Because whenever we read our Bible, oftentimes it's just to get through, right? Because we're on our daily Bible plan, and we're just like, oh, I got to get to that check mark, right? I finished. But no, slow down, slow down. Check this out. Because of this marriage that Aquila and Priscilla. Because of Aquila and Priscilla, sorry, hard with these names. Because of Aquila and Priscilla and the marriage that they had, but check this out, and the hospitality that they embodied, Paul entered into their home and was able to use their home and this space as a refuge so that the gospel could be advanced. That's a marriage on a mission. But you wouldn't think it, right? You wouldn't think it, but it is. In Acts chapter 18, verse 11 says, so Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half. I don't know if you lived with them for a year and a half. You're not living with me for a year and a half, right? That's crazy. For a year and a half, most likely, Paul stayed with them in Corinth, teaching, preaching, advancing God's kingdom, sharing the gospel, actually setting up a church because of their marriage and their hospitality. That's wild. And so, I said tonight's short. I wish I had some more extravagant things to say about this, but I really don't. This is just a beautiful picture of two people that entered into a marriage and they know that their marriage isn't just for them. It's a marriage on mission. And they had a heart and eyes to see an opportunity to be hospitable and welcome in who was probably not really a stranger, but maybe a stranger, so that the gospel could be advanced. And I don't ever want you guys to forget this. It's so powerful. And I have some closing thoughts, and worship team, you guys could come back up. Your marriage is safest when it's on mission. When it's on mission. When we get stagnant, and this goes for, there's so much work that needs to be done as individuals in our singleness season that sets us up for a successful marriage if we choose to enter into that and go down that road. But when we are stagnant, we start to bicker, we start to get annoyed. But when we're on mission and we're running this race side by side with our spouse, that is when your marriage is the safest. I'm telling you, that's when you experience purpose like you rarely can in this life. And so these things are important. That's why this series is important. Your singleness is important. Marriage is important. The way we relate to the people around us, our friendship relationships, they're important. They sanctify us. Every relationship we enter into is really like a mural, right? It's a picture of what life with Jesus looks like. Our deepest, most intimate friendship relationships, those are gifts from God. They are. And we need to treat them as so. We need to treat them as so. Our marriage should be a picture of Christ's love for his church. And our marriage should be a pursuit of Jesus's purposes here on earth. Our marriage is both a mural of God's love and a mission to bring it forth into a world that needs it. And here's kind of like my bow on this series. Always put God first. I went to Azusa Pacific University and that was our slogan, God first. It's probably the only thing I remembered out of all my years there. God first. All that debt for that, God first. Yeah. But don't ever forget this. He's our true north, always. And without God, the skies go dark and we get lost and we lose our way. In the art of relating with the people around us, our friendships, our parents, our significant others, remember to always put God first and he'll point us to the right people and in the right direction. Always, always. And the right people are the people who need his love. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray. God, we come before you right now and we thank you for all the relationships that you've given us, Lord. They're a picture of your spirit and they're a gift from you. And I pray that we would treat them as such, that we would honor. And your word says to outdo one another in honor. May that be true of us as we follow you, God. May we outdo one another in honor. May we be slow to anger. Rid us of bitterness, of jealousy, God. Help us to be patient and kind. Help us to be dispensers of your grace, God. And for those people who require some extra grace, I pray that we would give it to them. I pray that we would give it to them, God. Because in the end, that's what we all need. And so I pray for anybody that's in a season of singleness, God, that you would remind them that it's a gift. Help us focus on our devotion in our singleness. Help us to run our race, God. Fill us with purpose and with passion. Help us to use our gifts to advance your kingdom, God. Help us to just be in your will. We pray that. And for anybody that's in a dating relationship, God, as hard as that is and as messy as that can be, let us be reminded of your grace that always catches us when we fall. And that brings us back into alignment with your purpose. And for anybody that does have a dream of one day getting married, God, I pray for any insecurities or any thoughts from the enemy where they're like, you're not worthy of getting married one day. I pray that you would give them that dream and that you would fan it into flame. And that for anybody who wants to get married, that they would decide right now that right now they want to become the best husband they could ever be. And right now they want to become the best wife that they could ever be. And it really starts right now. It starts right now. And in your word, as weird as it might be for some of us, God, it says that Jesus, the relationship you have with us is a marriage. That the church is your bride. And that kind of intimacy that we long for, it's possible with you. And so may we seek that with you through your word and through the relationships that you've given us, God, first and foremost. Help us to always put you first. We pray that in your name.